Good morning. It is so good to be with you once again. It's exciting to bring the Word of God to you, and I thank you for listening. It's been a wonderful week, a lot of great things taking place, and we continue to pray with one another, and Tuesday nights has been good. We've had some good results and some good reports come back from the areas that we have prayed about on Tuesdays. But today it's Sunday, and I want to enter in with you into the message of God, amen, and encourage you as always, as it encourages myself. But today I want to jump into the scriptures here, and let us begin first off with that of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. Father, for how you are continually with us. Oh, Father, where would we be without you? Well, and Lord, as we gather this morning in our homes and those that are there in their living rooms and kitchens listening to this, Lord, by way of the internet, bless them, Father. I pray that the message that comes forth, Lord, will minister to their needs, that it'll touch them in their spirit, and that we will all gain something for sure because it is your word. I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So today, I want to go back into Psalms. You want to begin to turn there, Psalms chapter 34. Okay, Psalms 34 and 8. And as you're turning there and getting ready, this message comes again through this week of just sensing the things of God and through conversations. And it had to do with our understanding of God and having Him in our life and allowing Him in our life and growing in our life with Him. And so today I want to begin to just cross it over back and forth a little bit. And this scripture, as you're getting there in this chapter of Psalms 34, okay, you're there, chapter 34, verse 8. And what is it saying there? The New King James says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." Let's say that together, if you would, please. Read with me. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." And so that is the message of today. Taste and see of God. And how are we going to do that? I hope to bring to you this hour just a correlation and back and forth of some things in the natural to deal with some things in the spiritual to help us maybe have some clarity within this. And so we'll just go ahead and kind of step off into this and trust the Spirit will lead us. I've got some information on paper, but I want to be a vessel used, as I'm sure you as well, by God, okay? So when we get into this area of taste, the definition of taste out of the Webster's says this. It's to ascertain the flavor by taking a little into the mouth. It's to eat or drink, especially in small quantities. It's to perceive or recognize as if by the sense, of course, of taste. And the last there is talking about to become acquainted with by experience. I like that. To become acquainted by experience. Today, ladies and gentlemen, in our walk with God, the only way we can become acquainted with Him is by our experiences. And the only way we're going to experience Him is to come to Him, no matter where we're at in life, no matter what we have done. We need to come to Him through that of salvation, repenting of our sins, turning from those evil ways and turn to Him. Amen. But we need to come and become acquainted with Him by the experiences that we have with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to have experiences with our Heavenly Father. So that is talks in the definitions of taste. And the archaic, it would be this, to appreciate, to enjoy. as we taste and see that the Lord is good. It's for us to appreciate Him. It's for us to enjoy Him. No matter where we're at, no matter what is taking place around us. Again and again, we're still in this dealing with the COVID-19 and this virus. We need to continually keep this in prayer that God will bring forth a cleansing into this nation and around this world to eradicate it, to remove it from society to the point to where we can get back out and do life and to do it in abundance. Amen. Yes, Lord. So here it is. Remember, it's to appreciate, it's to enjoy, it's to become acquainted with by experience. Taste and see that the Lord is good. As you reflect back today, are you able to recall all the times that God has been good in your life? I hope you can, and I believe you can, even this morning, begin to just flip through the pages of memory to remember those times that God was there with you and God is there with you even today. Okay? Well, as I look at my Bible, it has the definition, not another, but looking at taste here, it talks in the Hebrew, it says, it's to taste, it's to eat, it's to discern, to perceive, to evaluate. This refers to the testing of good by means of the senses of taste, our mouth. Okay, from the primary sense of physical tasting, this word has developed into, though, the idea of evaluative sampling of things other than food. And that's what we do. In our walk with God, we begin to evaluate these things with Him in our life. We begin to compare, you know, B.C. before Christ to A.D. after Christ in our own personal lives as to what has happened, what has changed. And I know that once Christ comes into our life, it is good. Everybody say, it is good. Yes, it is. When Christ has come into our life, it is good. Now, I'm not going to say there's not going to be problems, okay, tribulations, situations come up in our lives, but He is there to help us through those things because Christ in our life, it is good. So when we get to this point of to taste and to see it, it's not telling us to, well, you better check out God's credentials and see, you know, who He is. It is to invite or to try God. Why? What else is there? I mean, if you've tried everything else, and generally that's where we're at in our life, by the time some of us come to Him, we have tried everything else in this life, and it has come to naught, and it has come to failure, and it has not fulfilled what we needed, and we finally come to Him, and we tried Him, and we began to see, hey, this is a lot better than what I had. So, the first step of this is with obedience and following God. We cannot help but discover that He is truly good and kind. Now we need to keep in mind that the first step of a Christian life, of following Him, that our knowledge of Him is what? Limited. That's why it is so important to read your Bible. That's why it's so important to come to studies and Bible studies. And it's important to come once we are able to join again as the body of Christ, to come together and gather with those of like faith so that we can share and encourage and help one another through that of God's Word. But we do understand that our knowledge of Him is limited in the beginning. But we need to trust Him on a daily basis. As we begin to experience this goodness of Him with each and every day, with each and every situation, what happens? We begin to trust Him. We begin to become more acquainted with Him. Why is that? Because we are having experiences in our life with God in our life, and we're seeing some changes taking place for the good. Come, oh, and taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Glory. So in the natural, when we think about tasting something that's unfamiliar to us, we normally do what? You know, yeah, here, just lick it just a little bit, you know, taste just a little bit of it. You know, we don't generally take a big spoonful of something that we've never had before and hope we like it. No, it's usually with small bites, maybe a little lick of the tongue, but generally we won't take a big bite until we know what? That we like it. In getting to know God, I believe we all started out with just a small taste of what He was about, and that was where at in our time of salvation, where we came to Him and we received Him as our Lord. Hallelujah. The salvation is that step that starts us on this tremendous journey. I would hope that you've experienced the goodness of God and that you've begun to develop more understanding and trust with Him as you begin to taste Him, okay, in a greater measure in your life. There's got to be a greater measure in your life. Now, quickly, when I think of these things of what is the ingredients or the things of God, well, we're going to share that in just a little bit, but I want to keep sharing here just a little further here, that to get to the thought of today's message, I want to think about and bring us to the thought of food. Okay. That got your attention, didn't it? I saw some of you were starting to, you know, drop off, nod off out there. Your eyes were kind of going in the back of your head until I mentioned food, and boom, your spirit rose up. Hallelujah. But let's talk about food, because that's how I needed to correlate this. That's how I started thinking about this, was thinking of come and taste. Oh, yes. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's like, you know, we begin to taste Him. We've got to explore Him. We've got to try Him and allow Him in to more of our life. But to look at that, I want to compare and look at a little bit of like cooking and food and the things of that nature and baking. So most of us, you know, we've cooked or we've baked something in our past, and some are a lot better at it than others. But I believe we will all be able to gain something, I hope, from this thought process. So I'm going to look at the area of baking. Now, we know that baking is a process that starts out with a recipe. You got to have a recipe. Unless you're one of those that just, you know, hey, I'm going to try this and try that and try this, and that's okay too. You're just exploring, and that's how new recipes come up, I'm sure. Okay? But generally, you know, we look at a recipe on the box or on a book or something. And within that recipe and that process, it usually shows and lists all the different ingredients that needs to go into that particular makings that you want to make. Whether it's the flour or butter or sugar, eggs and salt and baking soda, vanilla, you know, cinnamon. It can just go on and on as far as ingredients, okay? But I think you get the understanding of it, that there's a lot of things that goes in to something that we make that we taste. But all these ingredients, as we put them together in the right proportions, they will come out with something tasting what? Good. Everybody say good. That's right. It is good. Good. Hallelujah. But what happens if we miss one of those ingredients that's supposed to go in the batter? You know, if we miss something that's supposed to go in there, guess what? We're going to probably taste it by our tongue. Our tongue's going to say, wow, it's bitter. Wow, it's too sweet. Wow, it's too salty. I thought it was supposed to be chocolate chip cookies. I don't taste chocolate. Somebody left the chips out. The chips are down. My goodness. And so we have a lot of things, ingredients, and thinking about food and putting them together. And when they're put all together in that bowl and mixed properly, and what comes out of that is something that is great, something that is good. That's the thing that I want to have us think now in the realms of that of God. When we look at what He is, that we should be able to put these ingredients of Him together, and the outcome is something that is what? Wonderful. So as we thought of these things, our God is this. These could be the ingredients of God, okay? Love. God is Spirit. He's the Holy One. He is the Great I Am. He's Yahweh. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's God Almighty. He's a miracle-working God, the creator of the world. He has called things that be not as though they were. He's infinite. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's ever-present. Our God is unchangeable. He's the Father of lights, the author of salvation, full of power. He's the God who raises the dead. He's mighty to save. He's our heavenly Father, the way, the truth, the life. He's the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, the Bread of Life, the Bright and Morning Star, the Light of the World. He's Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, God. Oh, these are ingredients of God. He dwells in us. He's easily touched. He's faithful and He's true. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Just going through this, there's multiple things on here. Here He is, really quick. He's our Lord and our God. He's our life, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Teacher, our Healer, our Deliverer, our Resurrection, our Justification, our Strength, our Righteousness, our Peace, our Advocate, our Faithful and High Priest. Hallelujah! Our Hope of Glory. Yes. Now these are just some things, just to run through parts of the ingredients of God. And we find those things, those ingredients of God, in His Word. Hallelujah! That's why we need to read our Scriptures. That's why we need to look at God's Word. And He tells us these things. Later on, as we wrap this up, I'll run through some Scriptures here that helps us, I hope, if we can get there. If this doesn't turn into a two-parter, okay? Oh, hallelujah. So, here we go. Let's turn our thoughts toward God as we're going down this path of ingredients and thinking now of a batter and what we put things together in the natural into making cookies, pancakes, a cake, whatever it might be. Now, oftentimes we read God's Word, we take it in, we see the recipe for a life that should be patterned after that of Christ, right? We all see that, I hope. However, sometimes we miss an ingredient or an ingredient is left out. Might be on purpose. I can then liken it to someone maybe that is sharing God's Word with us, but you know, they leave out bits and pieces of it, of what God has said, what is good or what is bad. What we've been told might be missing some of those key ingredients of God's Word. We need to have the full ingredient of what God is about to put into our lives so that we truly come through with a fullness of all that God has for us. Comparing it to our baking example, okay, it would be like accidentally we drop an eggshell in. You know, I've done that a few times, and you would not believe who gets to find the egg when I make pancakes. You know, it's like I crack a few eggs, or maybe it's an omelet, and, you know, I've been told different ways of how you do it, but I crack the egg on the bowl that I mix. I shouldn't be doing that, okay? And a sliver of an egg will get in there, and I miss it. And my wife usually finds it. Yeah, I just tell her it's kind of like, you know, it's roughage, it'll help. But, you know, it's like we accidentally drop something into the batter. You know, we're making pecan cookies and we drop the pecans in there, but also, oh, a shell or two gets misplaced and it gets put in there. So, you know, are we misputting something in? You know, like I said earlier, we're making chocolate chip cookies and we left the chocolate chips out. How could you do that? My goodness. The cookies, they'll come out, you know, tasting like the pecan cookies that they should be, but, you know, there could be those shells in there, and that's mixed in with the cookie, and they're contaminated, you know. Basically, it's got foreign matter in there. So, you know, the whole batter is sometimes should have been thrown out. We just didn't know where those shells were at. But if we don't, and we go ahead through the baking process, and we've made them, and we put them on the plate, we come to find out that there's things in them that shouldn't be. Or if we forgot to put something in them, we find out at the end when we taste them. And so as we think of that of God, if we leave out some of the key ingredients that God is, do you think your life is going to be full? If we do add the ingredients of God's Word into our life, but we still keep some of the ingredients of the world in that batter, do you not think that that batter will be corrupted? You know, God's Word helps us in that understanding of a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. I had shared this many years back now when I had talked to God been trying to figure out that, you know, I'm in the world, not of the world, and I just didn't quite try to understand the concept, and what did that look like in my mind's eye? And the Lord just, I believe, gave me this example. And he said, because I like to, you may know, I make pancakes a lot and different things like that, and the kids, grandkids love them, you know, chocolate chips and things of that nature in them and all that. But anyway, it was like quickly the Lord brought something that I understood. And he said, it's like that batter of flour and all that you've got for pancakes. And then you take that egg and you crack it and you put it in there. Now, as long as you don't get stirred, that egg will just sit right there in the center of that batter. And generally, it holds its form, doesn't it? And I go, yeah. So that egg is in the world. That egg is in the bowl. But until you stir it or beat it in to the batter, it's not of it. And I thought, aha, I think I'm onto something here, God. And so I began to think that through, and it is true. You know, you've got that batter, you got the flour and the milk and different things and the oil there. And you crack that egg and it sets right there and it stays there. That's like us in the world. We are in the world, okay? But we got to be in it, but we're not going to be of it inside it, okay? We're not going to be beat up into the world to be part of it. Hallelujah. And its egg is in that batter until I take the whisk and start to whisk the egg in. Then all of a sudden, if I keep doing that, what happens? I can no longer see the egg in itself because it gets mixed in with the batter and it no longer has its own identity. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to this now. The egg has no longer its identity to itself. It's been mixed in with everything else. That is like us today, ladies and gentlemen, children of God. If we need to remain, okay, that of God, we need to remain that of Christian, Christ-like, and we do not want to get ourselves mixed into the batter of this world, because once we get mixed into the batter of this world, what happens? We lose not just our identity, but really what we're doing is we're losing Christ's identity. Christ in us, crucified. Us making a difference in this world. We're going to lay in the middle of the world like that egg on the batter. We don't want to get mixed into the affairs of this life. Amen. But we want to bring change about in it. And so we've got to remain separate from the world because we're part of another kingdom. So that is part of that thought process. Taste and see. Oh, that the Lord is good. We have got to remain separate from this world. I'm glad to be here in this place. I'm glad to be a part of God's kingdom, doing what He wants me to do during this time. No better place to be, amen, other than heaven. If we can't be in heaven, let's be right here in this earth, showing the things of God to those around us. Showing the ingredients of God to those around us. Do you believe that? If so, say amen. All right. I'm glad you're there with me. Now we got to be careful as I get back to this part here of as we are developing and getting God's ingredients and we're hearing man and even myself, if as pastoring to you and sharing the Word of God, if I am not using the full ingredients of God, you better be careful and you better be watchful to make sure that I am not missing something or adding something into God's recipe for what God has for you, for us. So like that of a foreign item in our cookie batter, our pancake batter, we need to make sure that the ingredients that we are using for God are what? His ingredients, and not man's ideas or man's thoughts. Because we already know this, ladies and gentlemen, if man's thoughts are in it, they will usually draw you off of the truth of God and cause confusion or even begin to cause delusion in your walk with God. And if what someone is saying doesn't line up with God's Word, if my message to you does not line up with God's Word or somebody else or just in people in general talking to you about the things of God, if it doesn't line up with His Word, then it isn't meant to be added to the spiritual recipe that he's making within us. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. We've got to be careful of what goes in to this vessel. God's word is meant to be digested together, one whole complete recipe. Both the Old and the New Testament, they both have value and importance. We've got to be careful when you hear ones out there saying we're totally New Testament. We don't do anything, believe, or go back into the Old. You got to be cautious of those that say we are an Old Testament belief and we gauge everything on the Old Testament and we don't go to the New Testament. Those are two areas that you want to stay away from because they both need to go together like that of a fulfilled recipe in a natural of making something good to be good and to grow spiritually and to fulfill the fullness of God in our lives. We truly need the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now we find in 2 Timothy, talking about that all Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and the New Living says this, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Notice, it's your life. It's don't use it to point out the flaws in other people's lives, ladies and gentlemen. Use it to point out the wrong in your life. Work on yourself. Let God work on the others. You monitor yourself, and it'll be good. Say amen. Okay? Continuing on, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Thank you, Father. Just a little side, I don't know, as time goes here. Let me see, where are we at on time here? We got a little time, I hope. As a sidebar to this, as I was looking up taste and the human body and the tongue and sensories and the things, that's one of our sensors of taste, you know, sight, smell, hearing, touch, taste. And so I began to look at that. It's amazing the tongue and the tens of thousands and thousands of sensory things, that the taste buds that are on our tongue. And then different parts of the tongue distinguish whether it's a sweet item, a salty, sour, bitter, whatever. It's interesting that we're not going to digest that here, but it is when you begin to look at these things. But here's what I found interesting as I was reading through just the natural things on taste in the human body. And it said this, how to get your taste back. So when we lose our taste, when the tongue, the taste buds maybe are not fulfilling and grasping the robust flavor, it says this, stay hydrated. Taste may return if you get moisture back into your mouth, and of course, you know, avoid medications and things that will dull the sensing of taste. But I found it very interesting that to get your taste back, it said in this study, you know, stay hydrated, drink water. Now I don't know why I bring that up, but here again, I got to that thought in what they were saying in their studies, you know, moisture, drink, fluids, help your taste to get back. You know, I find ourselves sometimes to where, you know, maybe we need to get our taste back for God, okay? We need to get more hungry for him. We got to get more savory and flavorful of him. You know, whatever we want to look at here, it might sound kind of crazy, but it's just things that I'm thinking about. But what did we find in John 7:37? Now, this isn't really part of the ingredient message of, you know, taste and see, but it is a little bit I just want to put to you today. In John 7:37, 38, on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So we thirst. If we thirst, come and drink of him, the watering of the Word. Amen. The Word. Jesus. Hallelujah. If we are dry and parched, maybe we're not tasting the things the way we should be. You know, we get into that dry and parched land. We feel we're in the desert. We don't know where we're at. Why aren't we hearing from God? It just seems to be, you know, my prayers aren't going anywhere. I'm not hearing from Him. Whatever the case might be. And we might relate it to, like, I'm just in a desert. I'm dry. Well, you're going to have watering of the Word. Get back into Scripture. Get back into Jesus. Read Scriptures. Meditate on it. And you will be rehydrated, and you will begin to have life back in you. I just know it'll happen. Hallelujah. But you've got to pick up on that and be aware of those things. Amen. Well, that was just kind of a sidebar. Really didn't want to go a whole lot that direction, but I find it very interesting that how, I don't know, I love my God. I say it again. I just read, you know, things even in a magazine for health or things of this world, and things of God's Scripture comes to the forefront of it, and it just kind of shows me how God is so in tune to things. And really, His Word just helps us tremendously, and I'm sure it's helping you as well. My. Thank you, Father. The one thing, too, as I was looking at Psalms 34:8, I don't know, I can't remember if I expounded on this in the Amplified version, but it would go like this in the Amplified, and it'll say this, okay, and it begins, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord, the Amplified would say, our God is good, blessed." In that area, blessed, the New Living says this, I'll kind of throw that in, "the joys of those who take refuge in Him." Oh my. How many here? How many under the sound of my voice have taken refuge in Him? Okay? "Is blessed. Those who have taken refuge in Him, the New Living." The Amplified says, "Fortunate, are prosperous, and favored by God are those that take refuge in Him." Hallelujah. "Who trust in Him." When we trust in Him, it's to do what? Take refuge in Him is what it is all about. It's not just the life that we're in right now. It's not just for this day, this month, this time. It's for all of our times, no matter what we're going through, whether it's the virus outbreak or some other situations in our life, whatever it might be. But we always need to know that we can take refuge in Him and trust in Him, and that we will be blessed, amen, that we refuge and rest in Him. Thank you, Father. We need to taste and see that the Lord is good, oh, so many times a day. Do you believe that? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, as we get into that, if we go into 1 Peter, if you would, please, let's take your Bible and start flipping back the pages, okay, and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses. A New King James says here, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." When we talk about that thereby, you know, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Is thereby is in respect to our salvation. Remember, it begins right there at the cross, salvation. But it's saying here in 1 Peter chapter 2 here, as in verse 2, as newborn babes, what do babies want? They want milk. They want fluid. They need nutrients. And I know their little stomach is not very big. We've had this last year a couple of new babies come into our family, and it's just amazing at the very, very beginning, and when they're in the hospital a few hours afterwards and eating just a little bit there of the nutrition of milk, that it only took like maybe a teaspoonful or no more than, well, not even a teaspoon, I guess, you know, because their stomachs are so small, but they craved that. They wanted that milk. As newborn babes desire that, we need to desire that of the pure milk of His Word. Okay? Yet we need to know and we need to desire the pureness of God's word, not distorted, not reworded. You know, it's got to be his trueness. Now, the easy-to-read version would say it this way. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2. It says this, "So then stop doing anything to hurt others. Don't lie anymore, and stop trying to fool people. Don't be jealous or say bad things about others." Verse 2, "Like newborn babies hungry for milk, you should want the pure teaching that feeds your spirit." Do you want that pure teaching that feeds your spirit? I believe you do. It continues on with it you can grow up and be saved. You have already tasted the goodness of the Lord. Now, this area here, with it you can grow up and be saved. You can kind of look at it this way. You must desire pure spiritual milk. It helps you grow up in your salvation, okay? That comes from the Easy English Bible. But it's that word of salvation. And it finishes out here, "You have already tasted the goodness of the Lord." So as we received him as our Lord, as we confessed our sins and asked for forgiveness, yes, you began to taste him at that time. Now as we look at this, Peter is describing here in 1 Peter, Peter is now describes the Word of God as pure spiritual milk. Spiritual is meaning that it is linked to the person's spirit and not the physical body. You know, as the babe desires the milk, okay, the physical milk, it's for a physical nourishment, okay? And the same for us, the spiritual food and things are, I'm sorry, spiritual, that the natural things that we have for food that nourish and sustain us physically. But here, Peter is now describing the Word of God as pure spiritual milk. Spiritual here means linked to a person's spirit, not his or her physical body. A Christian should want God's word as much as a baby wants milk. We know that the milk makes the baby grow up, grows big, grows strong, has all the nutrients to help the baby begin to develop and grow. A Christian should be eager to read and listen to God's word. This, in turn, will help them to become mature as well. We find in verse 3, it comes from Psalms 34:8. So, the Psalms that we started with at the beginning of the hour here, Psalms 34:8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Okay? We're finding this at verse 3 in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. "If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious," or that you have already tasted the goodness of the Lord, okay, as the easy read would say, it comes from Psalms 34:8. And tasted here means discovered by experience. Remember when I first started out and I said definition of taste, and I think it was the fourth area of that definition, and it said here, looking back on my notes, under the definition of taste, number 4, it says to become acquainted with by experience. Hallelujah. So here we're finding it. We're finding where Peter is sharing this, and this taste here is discovered by experiencing the things of God. Christians realize how kind God is. This makes them hungry in our spirits, and we want to know more and more about him. I have been on a journey with him for many years now. What say you? I think knowing the basis of our congregation at Harvesters Church, I could somewhat say, I think most of you here today listening, you've been on a journey with him for many years. You have been experiencing him. You are growing with him. Hallelujah. You're still considering, you know, the milk of the word, and I know we want the meat of the word too. And that comes as well as we develop, okay? And so the meat of the word, it's really, that is kind of like on your own. We can get deeper Bible studies as a group that we could go into the meat of it. But I believe on a general Sunday morning and messages for the masses that would come in, to the people, individuals, and where they're at in their backgrounds with God, we take and stay on the milk of the Word so that it's easily digested. For we do not know those that would come, and they sit amongst us, as to where are they at in maturity with God. And just like that of a babe, when the baby is born, after 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks or whatever the case, even months or two, you know, the babe is still on fluids. He or she is still on milk. And that milk will develop them. That milk will help them grow. That milk is necessary, okay, to sustain them. The milk of the Word of God is the same thing. It is to help us grow and to sustain us. Even those of us that are maybe eating more on the meat of the Word, there is nothing wrong with having milk along with it. Amen? Hallelujah! But in looking at the meat of the Word, I read somewhere in the Scripture, and I don't have it handy, but for those of us that would desire a deeper development with God, it's really for us to launch out and dig in God's Word for ourselves, and we are to find the T-bone steak of God in Scripture, okay? You need to find, okay, the porterhouse in God's Word that's for your life. The prime rib of God's Word is there for you to find and fix and eat. But as a corporate body, we need to really focus on the milk of the Word. And I tell you what, I still get a lot of benefits of sometimes just going back to the milk of the Word and reading it and allowing the Spirit of God to just speak into my spirit and enlighten me into even greater understandings of some of the basic things that I thought I already knew. And I don't know it all. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing of God other than I know that He loves me and I love Him. And I know that He is there for me and He is there for you. And that if we just come to Him, you know, and ask Him, oh, and taste and see that how good He is, that's what He wants us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I love you, Father. So again, we need to look at what Peter is describing here. It's a spiritual milk. It comes from Psalms 34:8, this taste here at 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, so as we look at our own spiritual growth as that of being similar to our physical growth, we can look back at the time when we were ourselves babies. The need of the milk was in a natural instinct for babies. You know, it's a natural instinct for babies. Being a baby, we desired the milk to satisfy our hunger as well as it helps us to grow and develop. Now reflecting on our spiritual growth, once we see our need for God's Word and we begin to find nourishment more in Christ, our spiritual appetite should begin or will increase. I hope it does. Mine does. Does yours? Does your spiritual appetite increase the longer you go with God and there's more of Him in your life? I believe so. And then we will begin to start to mature in these things. So it is. It's our responsibility to mature and to grow. We understand in the natural of those things that the most important part of the feeding of a baby when the first is born, when the baby is first born, is to have some of the mother's milk, because there are so many vital nutrients and antibodies and things in the first part of the mother's milk to help that baby begin to develop antibodies and things that it needs in its system for immunities and all. And so as we in the Spirit, as we received Christ and salvation at the cross, hallelujah, we need to have the milk of the Word. We need the antibodies in His Word to protect us and to stay off the things of the infections of this world trying to come into our spiritual walk to take us away from the things of that of God. We each are responsible for that. You need to look at your own walk and where you are at and ask God if He is happy with where you're at. Don't be satisfied. Keep growing, He would say. Don't give up. Keep pushing forward, He would say. Don't look back. There's nothing back there but the past. look forward to that of the future that I have for you, he would say. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, for doing so will take you off of the straight path that I have for you. He would say, don't listen to other people. Don't listen to how they compare you, or don't listen to them saying, I knew you back then. How can you be this now? No, because God would say, the old has passed away and the new is now. Our salvation when we received Jesus was what? Our rebirth of our spirit, becoming that of a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. As we begin to drink the milk of the Word, hallelujah. As we begin to look at the ingredients that God has in His Word to help us, to fulfill us, to bring us to a completion of us in our lives, and not to be able for us to gloat about ourselves, but is for us to be able to say, oh, if it wasn't for God, where would I be? How many out there today, right where you're at, would say, if it weren't for God, where would I be? Where would all of us be? We would all be in a world of hurt. I believe that. I'm just figuring out some things on my own. How thankful it is that He is there. And so remember for this message of this day was what? To taste and see that the Lord is good. To focus on His ingredients and not the ingredients of the world. That's two different batches of cookies being made. One is good. One is not so good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good for you today. The Lord is there for you today. I encourage you to reach out, even right now where you're at. Raise your hands and thank Him and praise Him and worship Him because of His love and His care that He has for you individually. You are special in His eyes. Know that. Receive that. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just pray that you will just touch the hearts of those that are listening to this right now, Lord. Father, by the only means that you can, supernaturally, Lord, just be there with them right now, Lord. And Father, I pray that they would begin to see further the ingredients that you have. Oh, and that we find those ingredients in your word. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. So as I begin to look at this and wrapping this up, okay, how strong is your desire to taste God's Word? How strong is your desire to grow in God's Word? Oh, yes. Oh, in the Spirit I see a lot of raised hands and a lot of head shaking. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, good. Good, good, good. Oh, Father, God is good. So here are some areas to taste and see. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe these are areas that you need to look at. I'm just going to kind of go through them, read them. You can replay this and take notes if you need to, but it's always online, so you can stop it and start it, stop it and start it. First area is that of 1 John 1:9. It says, forgiveness of all of your sins and freedom from guilt. It says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another ingredient of God comes here from Ezekiel 11, verses 19 to 20. And it talks about for being reconstructed spiritually or being born again. It says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. Ooh, wow. He is gonna be my God. Hallelujah. How about for the peace of mind of Philippians 4:7? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Remember these? These are, you know, we could look at all kinds of ways to look at, you know, the ingredients of God's Word. And I started off by initially, you know, going through who God is in our life, you know, our advocate, our righteousness, our strength, our resurrection, and our Savior, our life. Those are ingredients as well. But these are some scriptures here as well I just want to kind of run through with you. So we left off at Philippians. How about in Hebrews 13:5, a remedy for loneliness and boredom? You know, there's a lot of lonely people out there. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. What a promise. What a promise, especially for there is so many lonely people out there, that we can share this ingredient of God with them, that He will never leave you. Oh, He'll never forsake you. How about in Isaiah 12:2? What about tormented with fear? We got in our time of this pandemic, you know, for the last month. It's been like, what? Almost 2 months now that we've had a church service, I guess. So it's been a couple of months now. But there's a lot of fears out there. Isaiah 12:2 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For guidance during times of, you know, perplexity, and there's so many things to decide and think about. What's the right way, God? You know, what should I do at this time? Well, Proverbs 3:6 for this guidance says this: in all of your ways, do what? Acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Want your path straight? Acknowledge Him, okay? 2 Corinthians 12:9. For a trying situation. Boy, I tell you what, there's times where some of you out there have been tried over and over and over. Sometimes you've been tried, you know, 5 times, 10 times a day, just like in your job or trying to do things and working from home or part at home and part in the office. It's just, it's very trying times. But here it is, 2 Corinthians 12:9, an ingredient of God says this: for a trying situation, simple, my grace is sufficient for you. Continuing on, how about when you're weary? Anybody out there been weary? Oh, man. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I know that sometimes even where we're at today with maybe is not as much going around and we're staying in more than anything and can't do a whole lot, but we still become very weary. And we know that in God, He will give us rest. What about when a load seems so heavy? In Psalms 55:22, okay, this sounds familiar. Cast all your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. What about the times when you face a hard day? Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They shall soar on wings like eagles. Nothing more majestic than watching in the sky along the river here, when you see eagles nesting or when they take flight from up in their perch, and how they kind of scan the river, soar, and they just, and then they're just looking for prey, but they're just very majestic. But my goodness, what about the times for being truly happy? We all need that. We need to be happy. John 15:11. I have told you this so that my joy, Jesus saying this, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Oh, my, my, my. Have your joy complete today because what? Jesus is in you. My joy may be in you. Joy doeth good like a medicine, okay? A merry heart doeth good like medicine. What about for an abundant life? John 15:5. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Ah, ingredients of God. I want these ingredients mixed in my life. How about you? How about for strength and help? Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Anybody need the hand of God wrapped around you today? He's there just for that. How about being discouraged? In Psalms 31:24 says, be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. Be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. I think one last one here. There was a lot more than this, but you know, you had to kind of draw a line here, and here it is. How about for deliverance from distress and trouble? It's a lot of distress and trouble things coming up, but that's life. Our life in general is like that. My goodness, day in and day out. So Psalms 107:13 for deliverances from stress or distress and trouble. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and what did he do? He saved them from their distress. Distress. That is interesting. And some of the understanding of some of the trainings and things that I've been in for critical incident stress managements and things we do for the chaplain program for the police department is, you know, there's two types of stress. There's eustress and then there's distress. Eustress is daily stress. Eustress is good stress. Eustress is basically things like, oh, you know, I got to get up at a certain time to go to work. Oh, eustress is I've got to make sure I get ready and dressed and out the door by 8 o'clock. Whatever the case might be, it's just our daily activities, and it's a stress, but it's a eustress. It's good stress. It keeps us going. Distress is something that is not planned. It's a disruption. It's distressing. It's things that a lot of times when you're in distress, it's because it's things that you can't handle yourself, and it comes upon you quickly, and you had no way to prepare for it, possibly. But that's when you get into a distressful situation. But anyway, distress. I find that very comforting to know that he saves us from our distress. And there's times out there throughout our life, for sure, that we do come into distress. So these are some of the areas there looking at today for the ingredients, I believe, of God. There's many, many more, like I said. But I wanted to kind of give you a little insight into this with Psalms 34:8 in the beginning of how I looked at that at the beginning of the week, seeing that, oh, taste and see. And it wasn't that I was looking at the scripture, really. I was just in a conversation and things of how good God is. And it's like, well, how do we know how good God is if we don't understand all of his ingredients, or that we're missing some of the ingredients and we try to do it on ourselves or our own? When we try to do it on our own power, we're not using his ingredients for the fulfillment of everything, you know. It just kind of grew from that. And it's like, if we don't have all the ingredients, and it's like, well, wait, it says in God's word, you know, taste and see. When I started thinking about ingredients, tasting, the natural, the food, the things that go into a recipe, well, it begins to expand the things that go into our spiritual walk with God. To taste and see. So my prayer for you today as I wrap this up is that you will taste and see, and that he is good in your situation. Again, I thank you for listening. I thank you for the faithfulness in your prayers and your financial continued giving to support his kingdom here at Harvesters Church. You folks are a blessing and a blessing. And I know you're a blessing because our God is a blessing. And he works through what? Each and every one of us. And so again, thank you for the prayers and your continued support through tithes and offerings. God bless you and keep you and continue to be with you. As we wrap up, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the timing of your word today. I ask, Lord, that it goes forth and accomplishes, Lord, what you wanted to accomplish in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. I thank you, Lord, that there is so many ingredients in your word to help us, and that, Father, we will continue to grow, continue to develop, continue to mature in everything that you would have for us, Lord, so that we can be a benefit to those around us, so that we can show your glory to those around us, Lord. I thank you, Father, for picking us and choosing us, and we chose you, and we're all here before you, Lord. Hallelujah. So again, thank you, Father, for the truth of your word and how it builds us up. Bless each one now, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you again. Again, have a wonderful week, but have a wonderful day. And I need to say, wishing each and every mother out there a happy Mother's Day. This is Mother's Day Sunday. And so we've got some special moms that make up the body of Christ here in our church. And I thank God for them, and I ask God's blessings for them as well. Happy and a blessed Mother's Day. Until next week, let God be there with you and go before you. Amen.